Thank you, Jafte. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So as Jafte introduced me, my name is Sarah Dhanraj Aaron, and I serve as one of the elders here at Westview, which is a great privilege. So I'm not a guest speaker. I do sit on that side. So if you haven't met me, come on to the other side during the greeting time. Yeah. So the theme for our summer series is how I connect with God. And I've been so blessed by those who have shared so far: contemplative prayer, deep community, engaging with the Word. And before I share today, I just wanted to thank God for the privilege we have to actually connect with Him, right? That is a privilege. It's a gift of salvation given to us. And I have a few verses that I'm going to request to be put on the screen. Galatians 4:4-7, that's the essence of the gospel. And I'm just going to read the underlined words there. So the underlined words: God the Father, His Son, God sent the Spirit. So in my connection to God, I have the invitation from the Father. I have the door opened to that connection by the Son, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't have to strive for that connection. I have the Holy Spirit living within me, helping me to make that connection. So what we're going to discuss today is ways in which I can allow more of Him in more of me. So in me. So like that's our series to this summer. So as we are unpacking that, we're just going to look at ways that we can deepen our connection to God. So let's just pause for prayer and then we'll jump right in. Father, I pray that as we look at your word, I ask, dear Lord, that you would reveal to us ways in which we can connect better with you and deepen our connection with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the heart of the Father is for us to be connected to Him, that we would have that close relationship with Him. And because it's the summer and because I love gardening, I just wanted to take you on a garden tour. So three sections of my garden. And I trust that through this garden tour, you will learn allegorically how I connect with God. So the first section of the garden tour will be plants that are deep-rooted. Okay, plants that have deep roots, that's not in my garden. That's just a picture I got from the internet. The second section will be plants that need support, like a trellis or, you know. And the third section will be plants that are intertwined, and I'll explain that. So as you step into this first section, I want to share with you one of my Red Sea moments. I think Pastor Charlie uses that often. Red Sea moment is one where you're faced with a crisis, but God comes through and reveals His power to in and through us. So by sharing this story, I just want to make sure that I'm able to illustrate how deep roots help us connect to the Father. So a few years ago when I was 28, not a few years ago, maybe a while ago. I did hear that laugh from this side. So a while ago when I was 28, I had a major surgery. I had titanium implants, all of that, the fun stuff that goes into your body. And I had to make a major life decision at the same time. And I also had, you know, it felt like I was hard-pressed on every side. And yet, during that time, when I was physically broken, when I was socially, I felt isolated, and I was emotionally scarred, I could say with Paul, I was hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And I love these verses in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. It's a beautiful picture. Talks about a drought season, but it goes like this. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. A tree planted by the water, roots by the stream, green leaf in drought. That's a result of deep roots, right? Yeah. And so what does it mean to have deep roots? Of course, like I said at the beginning, the heart of the Father is for me to be connected. He's given me the Holy Spirit to indwell. So it's not dependent on external circumstances. But looking back at that drought season, I know that there were deep roots, spiritual practices, if I can call them that, that helped me stay green. And I had a community around me, like my parents, my mentors, who helped me instill and build those deep roots. The book of Deuteronomy has a beautiful verse that says, actually Jesus quotes this in the Gospels, and Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." And that sounds like deep roots, right? And so as you read through the book of Deuteronomy, you can see prescriptions for how you can have those deep roots. Okay, so I'll put up this slide. I'm just picking up six spiritual disciplines that helped me stay rooted. So the first one, and we'll go through this quickly. I'm trying to see the clock there. We'll go through this quickly. The spiritual discipline of feasting on the Word of God. And last week, Tina spoke so well on this, that we need to schedule time. Because, as Deuteronomy 8:3 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Feasting on God's Word helps me stay connected. And I receive spiritual nourishment from that. So like Tina encouraged us last week, we need to schedule time in the Word. And one of the ways in which I feast on the Word, and there are many spiritual disciplines or ways in which we can do that, I often use the 4 hours of Lectio Divina. And that is, you read it 3 times, reflect, you pause, you reflect on it. So the Holy Spirit reflects back to you a theme, a word, or a message that is going to be revealed to you. You respond in prayer, and then you rest in that message. But we don't just sit there. We take that prescription, and we go and act on it. We apply it to our lives, right? And just as we feast on the Word, we need to make sure those around us are feasting as well. So if you see in Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, "Impress this on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road." And it talks about like speaking to them when you, walking, when you're lying down, when you get up. So we need to make sure those around us are fed as well. So it can be our own children, spiritual children, our small group, those around us. So the second spiritual discipline or practice is that of fasting. And those verses, Deuteronomy 9:9-10 says, "Moses went to the mountain. He stayed there 40 days, no food, no water. And at the end of it, what did he get? He got 2 tablets inscribed by the finger of God." So often, after a season of fasting, we receive specific direction for how to go about our lives. The third one is that of journaling and scribing. So Deuteronomy 19, actually it's a very interesting passage because it says when a new king takes on, like becomes a king of Israel, they have to take the law, which was for them the word of God, and they had to write it in their own handwriting. And then they had to read that handwritten version as their version. And so when we write out the word of God, we internalize it. When we journal, we are reflecting back what we have written, and it helps us internalize. So journaling, scribing, that's another spiritual discipline. And then the next one, that of giving. Deuteronomy 14:22 says, "Bring a tenth of your produce into God's house." And then 15:11 says, "Be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy." So if I want to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, I need to honor him with my tithe and my talents. And this places my heart where my treasure is, right? And it helps me connect to the Father. The fifth one is that of corporate worship. And I think this morning we experienced that when we worship together, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And so when we come together, when we worship, we're able to have that connection with the Father. And the last one is that of uprooting, the spiritual discipline of uprooting. So as much as we focus on roots, we also need to focus on removing the roots that shouldn't be there in our lives. So that could be unconfessed sin, maybe habits that we shouldn't be engaging in, and it could also be, unresolved disputes or other things that we need to settle with the Father. So those time stealers can also take away from the good roots taking root in our hearts. But all of these disciplines are only a means to an end, right? Because my end goal is that I would connect to the heart of the Father. So I shouldn't be approaching my spiritual disciplines with, I'm going to check this box, but as a moment of connecting to the heart of the Father. So as we get ready to leave this section, the ones with deep roots of my garden, I want to ask you to reflect on this question. Do I set aside time each day to connect with God? Is my daily spiritual life a set of rules I follow? I must do this, I must do this. Or is it a consistent faith in Christ which produces the fruit of obedience? So let's move into the second section in my garden, the plants that need support. And I put a picture there, but again, that's not from my garden. Okay, that's a book that I recommend if you want to just take a picture. It's daily conversations with God that are just very simple. It just helps, kind of demonstrate that daily connection with the heart of the Father. So yeah, that picture. Okay, so my plants don't grow that well. I had to borrow a picture from my friend's garden. But you can see the trellis there. You can see that plant needs that support, right? And for me, that is my community. And I know what you're thinking. We've heard about community many times over the last few months. So I'm going to illustrate with an example of how and why the trellis of community is so important in my connection to the Father. So this is an interesting experience I had. So at the beginning of the year, one of the members of our small group suggested, why don't we do a 21-day fast as we enter into this new year? And I'm thinking, 21 days? And if you know me, you know I love food. So I'm not going to survive for 21 days. So in order to support the group, I said, I'll join in for a few days, a couple of days maybe. And so the group kind of established a reading plan. We had a prayer schedule. We would meet every evening on Zoom. And we encouraged each other to keep at it. Week one was hard. I can tell you that. But as we prayed together, as we texted each other, as we did scripture reading together, it was so enriching. And I was able to finish the 21-day fast because of the community around me. And that was, entirely because of that community that kept encouraging me. And as a group, we discovered that when we feed the Spirit, we have the mindset of the Spirit. When we feed the flesh, we have the mindset of the flesh. And if I had not had that group journey with me, I may not have made it to the 21 days. So we grew closer to the Lord, but we also grew closer to each other as we went through that time. And this was a great way to start the year, and a great way to support each other as well in this effort to grow closer to God. Actually, on the coldest day of the year, I think it was January 24th, I don't know the exact date, we had a retreat And we all got together, we read the word, we prayed together. And I'll tell you, it's a great way to spend a winter day because your hearts burn within you. You're warmed, you're refreshed, you're encouraged by community around you. So I have a few verses there, Colossians 3, 15 to 17, that illustrates this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So who are you called to support today? Do you need to reach out to someone to be that trellis for them this week and to establish that support to help them connect to the Father? You may be called to be an accountability partner for someone, or you may be called to invite somebody to be an accountability partner with you. You may want to seek out a spiritual director to journey with you. And our church is pretty unique in that we have a team of resident spiritual directors here. And you could just talk to Nita and find out who can be that spiritual director who journeys with you. As a student going into a new campus, maybe you need to seek out a campus ministry group that helps you stay connected. We saw this in our daughter's life because that group around her helped her stay connected to the Father. So as we leave this section of the garden, I want to ask you to reflect on this question. Do I understand the church as the body of Christ? And am I consistently involved in church? Am I discipling, worshiping, serving, giving, submitting, etc.? So that completes the second section of the garden tour. So as we move into this next section, I just want to show you this interesting picture. So I came across this when I was working in my garden the other day. So this plant has intertwined itself with the fence, right? So the nature of the fence has become that of the plant. When the fence weaves, the plant weaves, right? So it reminded me of this verse from 2 Corinthians 15:4 that says, Christ's love compels us. And the King James Version actually has a nice way of putting it that says, the love of Christ constrains us, leads us, guides us in a narrow path. So if I have tasted of Christ's love, I should be compelled or inspired to go and share that love with others, right? So let me illustrate this with an everyday example. I have my sister and family visiting here from Nashville, and I love spending time with my niece and nephew. So if I'm just going to be doing activities I love, I'm not going to establish a connection with them. But I need to find out what they are interested in and what they are passionate about and join them in those activities. And it helps build a connection with them, right? So in the same way as I spend time with God, I need to find out what He is passionate about and join Him in that work and in that mission. What does the Father's heart beat for? And right at the beginning, we saw that the gospel message is that the Father's heart yearns and beats for connection with us, for a relationship, a growing, vibrant relationship. So in Matthew 18:11, we see a clue to this. And the Father's heart beats for the lost, because in Matthew 18:11, he says, I have come to seek and save the lost, the ones who are living without a relationship with Him. And then we'll see later on how His heart yearns for those who are suffering and those who are lonely as well. So if I want to join hands with the Father in reaching out to the lost, what does that look like? I don't have to do it on my own effort like we saw at the beginning. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So in being connected to the Father, as I reach out to the lost, am I living out the gospel in my own context, in the West Island, Montreal, Quebec? Am I called to go and live in and share the gospel in another country, in another city? Is my heart burdened for those who are living and dying without Christ? And if I'm not called to go, then am I called to partner with those who are going? And God's heart yearns for those who are lost. And we as a church have a strong missions emphasis. And we are reaching out to those who are living without Christ. So I have a slide there, which is actually a picture or screenshot of our website. And there's a list of ministries and a list of missionaries as well. And it's interesting, like if you look at the list of ministries, we have ones that you may be familiar with and ones that maybe, oh, we partner with them. And there are so many benefits to being involved in ministries. Of course, we are connecting to the heart of the Father, but if anyone packed a Christmas shoebox, you knew where Cabo Verde was, right? Because we packed shoeboxes that went to Cabo Verde. So while the rest of the world is watching FIFA and saying, where Cabo Verde? We knew those who packed shoeboxes because some of the Canadian boxes went to Cabo Verde. And of course, there are so many ways in which you can learn about those communities as you talk to these missionaries. On the next slide, I've listed some of the missionaries that we partner with. And you can reach out to one of them, ask them how you can be praying for them, find out what they're engaged in, what kind of ministry they do, and then partner with them, volunteer maybe with them once in a while. But even as we pray for and partner with our ministries and our missionaries, we are also called to live out the gospel in our Jerusalem, right? So if I know that the Father's heart is yearning for the lost, I live out the gospel in my context. But do I know how to do that? Do I know how to share the gospel as part of my everyday conversations? So I just put a little bit of a practical tip there. A method to remember, acronym maybe LIEP, or to make it easier, PAILE, maybe that's easier. But remember to always love that person with Christ's love before even you share the gospel. Invest in understanding their story. Listen, hear what their story is. Encourage them to explore the Bible. Give them a copy. We have a wealth of resources here. So if you need a Bible, come and ask, invite them to explore. And then prompt personal application of scripture. And this is just a simple way that you can remember to bring the gospel into an everyday conversation. And as I share God's love for the lost, here are some practical ways. I also put another slide to be involved in global missions. You can go. Maybe somebody here today is called to go and serve in another culture, in another context. You can send, you can welcome, mobilize, learn about other ministries and other countries, and you can pray. I've listed there one practical example, like the Joshua Project app, prayer letters from missionaries. So that's one way that we can partner with God in reaching out to the lost. God's heart also yearns for those who are suffering, lonely, and those who are oppressed. So as I connect to the Father, I need to ask myself, if God's heart is beating and yearning for the lost, the lonely, the suffering, is my heart beating for the lonely, the suffering, the oppressed? In Micah 6:8, we see this challenge. You can go to the next slide. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justly. Am I acting in ways that are just? And am I seeking out justice for those who are oppressed? Can I be a voice for someone? To love mercy. Am I a peace builder? Do I show mercy where I can? Do I forgive as Christ forgave? And am I walking humbly? Am I a servant leader? Am I willing to serve in humility? It's interesting, at the end of Paul's letters, he always closes with a list of names. And he says, you know, greet so-and-so, so-and-so. And often, those names are repeated in other letters too. And those people are the ones who are behind the scenes, serving in locations. They are the Tims who are advancing my slide. They are the ones who are setting up the coffee that morning. They are the ones who are cleaning the sanctuary before the service. And those are ways that we can humbly serve. You can look up those names at the end of Paul's letters. There's a very interesting list of names there. And this could look like, you know, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly. Could look very practical, like going and visiting the sick. Maybe you know someone who lives by themselves. They are lonely. Just going and visiting, having coffee with them. Helping someone with their chores if they're not able to do that. Helping someone find a job if you have that ability to do that. Learning more about the persecuted church. And we do have a table this morning. You can talk to Roy and find out how you can learn more about the persecuted church. It could be like volunteering at On Rock, LaCorde, any of the ministries that the Lord will place on your heart. And as you're tuned to the heart of the Father, God would reveal to you what those opportunities are. So as you step out of this section of my garden, I want you to reflect on these two questions. Do I feel burdened for the lost in the world? And I try to order my life around reaching them with the gospel, my time, my money, my conversations, my lifestyle, my friendships. Does my heart beat for what the Father's heart beats for? So thank you for joining me on this garden tour. And as you leave this garden, I just want you to reflect on these three questions. And I'll invite the band to come up. Do I set aside time each day to connect with the Father? Am I deepening my roots? Do I have a supportive community around me to help nurture my connection to the Father? Am I being that trellis for someone? Does my heart break for what the Father's heart breaks for? So I'm just going to invite you to a couple of minutes of reflection so you can bow your heads and take a few minutes, think about these. July is an interesting month because it's the halfway mark of the year. And as you set your priorities, as you set your goals for the rest of the year, can you schedule in time every day to be with the Father? Can you schedule in time to be with that supportive community around you? And can you order your life, your time, your resources around the things that break the Father's heart? Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this time, dear Lord, to get a peek into your heart. And I pray, dear Lord, that as we leave today, we would go away with that burden for the things that break your heart, that we would desire deeper connection with you, to connect to the heart of the Father. We would be able to say, like those verses said in Galatians 4, Papa, Father, and have that space where we can sit down and have personal, private conversations with you. So I thank you for the privilege. I thank you, dear Lord. And I just pray that if there's anyone here in the room who does not have that personal connection, I pray, dear Lord, that they would find ways in which to have that. And I thank you, Father, for today. In Jesus' name, amen.